Greet you in the precious name of Jesus. It's a privilege again to be gathered together and to draw our hearts and minds to the Lord. This past week was a highlight for me, being able to take in the minister's meeting again. And I would just like to say a personal thanks as a part of the program committee for many of you, Marvin Nisley and Mark Nisley in particular, who oversaw a lot of the details, and for all of you church people who pitched in and made it workable and made it a success. There were many fellow pastors who came and said, thank you so much. And I said, well, I'll pass those thanks on to the people who really deserve it, and that's you all, because I was able to enjoy them with the others. This morning, I'm going to be reflecting a little bit of some of the things that the Lord spoke to me about this week, and they are specific to me, and yet they are general enough that I believe you will be I trust you will be challenged as well in what the Lord ministered to my heart. Invite your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of the things I was reminded of as I sat under the teaching was that those of us who have the Word of God, who have good, solid teaching, and it seems like we just get a lot of it, so to speak, there is a stewardship that goes with that. And I was reminded of the group that we call German Mennonites. The old colony people actually take a different position. They think that it's the same principle, but the less you know, the less you're accountable for. And so they don't encourage that the people read their Bibles, and the children don't go to church until about age 13, I believe. And I think, my, how sad. And yet it is the same principle. We are accountable for what we are told. But I like to be on this side of it, that we have more that we are accountable for than to say, let's try to remain ignorant. And so we aren't as accountable. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8 through 17. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Paul reminds us of numerous things in this chapter. First of all, that someday we will lay down this earthly body, and that we all will stand before God at the judgment seat, and that those who are on the wrong side will receive the terror of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, to bring out the other side as well, the love of Christ constrains us because Christ died for us. And then, because he died, we should no longer live for ourselves. The thing that kind of gripped me was how the Lord convicted me of selfishness. And I was thinking specifically of verse 15, that because of Christ's death and me entering into that and receiving the new life in Christ, now I do not live unto myself, but rather unto Christ. You know, my default is to work, to serve, to serve God, kind of as it fits in to my schedule. You know, let me do my other things, and then as it works, I will take time to serve God. But I believe, and I believe the scriptures would tell us this, that God calls us to a servant mentality, where everything I do is of service to him. And it's not like I create these time pockets where, okay, now I give time to God. And so for myself, being convicted of selfishness, I just realized that it's easy to think of time as my own rather than it being God's, and how am I being a steward of that. And then as I was visiting with my wife about it, I acknowledged it to her, and she said, well, have you repented? Oh, yeah. Well, acknowledgement is one thing, repentance is another. And I was reminded again of the importance of repentance. And so I did. I said, God, I realize I've been selfish with my time. And this all relates to the ministry, but I believe all of you are called to a ministry. It may not be the same, look the same as those of us who are called to be pastors, but you all have a ministry, and it is easy to fall into selfishness. And I just challenge you, are you willing to repent and to recognize it and say, God, I want to do as verse 15 says, that we henceforth live, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Then I invite your attention to Matthew chapter 10. Connected to the selfishness is the fact of, am I willing to give my all? And obviously, if I'm selfish, I won't. But Jesus speaks of the people who are worthy of his kingdom. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I was just reminded that the kingdom of heaven is worth me giving my all. I knew that. I've known it. But I was reminded again of how much I need to be willing to give up. Paul says, taken from 2 Timothy, that he stretched every nerve in this Christian journey. In his journey with God, he was willing to, he said, I have fought a good fight, which another way to say it is he stretched every nerve. So I had to ask myself, am I willing to have spiritual muscle soreness for the cause of Christ. You know, any athlete knows that the first time that he tries something out, he will have soreness because it's just part of the training process. I am one who wants to allow this past week to change me, and that I not consider any cost too high to be faithful to God's kingdom. Because it is as we lose our life in Christ that we find life, and that we find fulfillment. You know, we, humanly speaking, we look to find fulfillment in so many other ways. And yet, when the day is done, when the dust is settled, we find it empty. But it is only as we give ourselves, we relinquish our selfishness, we repent of our selfishness, and we say, God, your cause is worth everything I can give. And it is then that we find true fulfillment. So I would just like to challenge you. What priority are you giving the kingdom? Is it at the bottom? Is it somewhere in the middle? Or are you seeking first his kingdom? So that's some of the things I've been grappling with. And I want to be careful lest the seed that has been sown just become be left alone, that it not be watered, and that it not bring forth fruit that God intended for it. And so I just invite you on this journey to truly allow the kingdom of heaven to be what we live for. And it does not need to be in competition with what we do in everyday life, because it should be what we do in everyday life, even the menial tasks that we have. Let's kneel for prayer. Lord God, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you for the way that it speaks directly to the needs of our heart. And Father, we have been given much. We have the Word of God in our own language, and we have many helps, and we have good teaching. God, I just pray that you would impress upon us the importance of our stewardship of these things, and that we not allow the cares of this world to choke out the Word of God in our hearts. And so, Father, I just pray that today, the first day of the week, the day that we set aside to rest and to hear from you, I pray, Father, that you would again be faithful, that your Spirit would come and move among us and touch our hearts and change us, Lord. It is only the change that lasts that when your Holy Spirit comes. Pray for Brother Darlton as he prepares for the message. Enable him, Lord, and just pray that you would empower him, that we could hear again the truth that we need to hear. Pray, too, for the Sunday school classes. Bless each teacher. Thank you for their investment in time. And pray that each class could be beneficial in us hearing from you through your word. We look to you, Lord, for it is from you that we receive life and strength. Pray this through Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Julian. All that we have is a gift from God, and that includes the time that He gave us, that He gives us. Let's spend our time wisely. Matt and Andrea are no longer here. They've left for Turkey and other points. I'd just like to say that I appreciated working with him while he was here as a Sunday school superintendent. Enjoyed following his lead, and I will miss him, but I wish them well. This brings us to the Sunday school hour. I want to welcome each one here, especially the visitors. Just invite you to find a class. Just follow your neighbors or find a class and participate in our Sunday school. At this point, we'll excuse the teachers in the basement.